Our second reading is taken from Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, the opening chapter reading selected verses. Paul commends the Thessalonians for their courage under persecution, but then also points out that this is the result of God's righteous verdict. That is, God's gracious declaration of justification provided through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus. So Paul urges the people to live in ways that reflect their gospel calling so that their lives and ours give glory to the Savior. We read from 2 Thessalonians 1. We are always obligated to thank God for you, brothers, as is fitting, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love that each and every one of you has for one another is increasing. So we ourselves boast about you in God's churches in regard to your patient endurance and faith in all your persecutions and in the trials that you are enduring. This is evidence of God's righteous verdict that resulted in your being counted worthy of God's kingdom, for which you also suffer. For this reason, we are always praying for you that our God will make you worthy of your calling and use his power to fulfill every good desire and work of your faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, in keeping with the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of our Lord.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we hear again the words from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let me read verse 5 and 11 side by side again. This is evidence of God's righteous verdict that resulted in your being counted worthy of God's kingdom, for which you also suffer. For this reason, we are always praying for you that our God will make you worthy of your calling and use his power to fulfill every good desire and work of your faith. This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, what a letter! A glowing letter that Paul, Silas, and Timothy write to this congregation in Thessalonica. See how positively they write? See how encouraging they are? What a wonderful congregation you are! We always are thanking God for you. Your faith is growing. Your love is increasing. You bring glory to God. Wow, that's a real commendation for a body of believers, isn't it? This is how Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, inspires sanctification in his people. An interesting paradox, though, is expressed in verses 5 and 11, and that's why I read them side by side like this. When set by side by side, it looks like it's a contradiction in the Scripture, and yet both verses are absolutely true. Both verses express correct teachings in Scripture. And what a learning experience we have this morning to understand these two truths set side by side, and by it we see true gospel motivation for the good works of sanctification in our lives as believers, to grow in sanctification, to increase in good works, doing good for others. So let God bless us. May God bless us as we consider this question. Are we already worthy, or are we being made worthy? And we're blessed to see in this text that the answer is yes. How is it true that you're already worthy of God's kingdom? God's kingdom is for holy people. That's for the saints. That's for the perfect, for the righteous, for the good people. You might look at your life and consider your works and rightly conclude, I don't belong on that list. I'm not right to be counted among them. And every time we look at the law, if we might become proud in our lives and in our works and the deeds that we've done, the law quickly strikes us down with that reminder that we are not what God desires us to be. But look at what Jesus says. He's made a decree about the matter for us. He has declared it. Paul writes, "This is evidence of God's righteous verdict that resulted in your being counted worthy of God's kingdom. Yes, your faith, which is seen in fruits of faith by your increasing love and endurance through hardships, that living faith is evidence of God's justification, His saving work in your life, that He has declared you not guilty. This expresses that wonderful truth of your status as a believer, as your status as a child of God, when God looks at you because of Jesus' justifying work, you are holy. You are perfect. You are already completely worthy of being a member of the kingdom of God." Paul calls it a righteous verdict, a judgment that is correct, that is right and true. It's a right verdict that God counts us worthy of His kingdom. And you may look at that and you say, that must be a mistake. That must be wrong because I know myself, and how much more does God know me? And yet God has declared it. You belong. You are good enough. No, you are perfect, a saint. That judgment, that verdict is right as it comes from the righteous God. That's exactly what we call justification. God has declared you to be not guilty. He's declared you to be innocent, perfect, righteous, and worthy of God's kingdom of heaven. That's your status as a believer, as a child of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. How can that be? How can God, who's right and just do that? The answer is Jesus. As I said at the beginning of the sermon, as Paul wrote at the beginning of his letter, grace and peace are yours from God and from Jesus Christ. God, in His perfect love for us, undeserved love for us, sent His Son Jesus Christ, who came into this world to live a perfect life in our place and fulfill all of the righteousness that is required for us to be saints, worthy of the kingdom of God. Yes, He kept that law perfectly for us, and He paid for our sins by His death on the cross. He made us not guilty, giving us peace with the Heavenly Father as He made the payment, the sacrifice for all of our sins. We're justified by His grace, rightly judged not guilty. That means we are already worthy of God's kingdom, already worthy of heaven. The work of our salvation is done. Justification, completed and accomplished through faith in Christ. But then how does Paul go on to say that God may make us worthy? A subjunctive, as if the worthiness isn't yet complete. Verse 11, he says, "For this reason we're always praying for you, that our God will make you worthy of your calling and use His power to fulfill every good desire and work of your faith." I thought our status is already worthy. How is Paul praying that we may be made worthy? This is what we call sanctification. And that's a lifelong process for us. And look how positively Paul encourages it. He invites us to live up to the calling that we have received as God's holy people. Be holy like the people that God has made you to be. Faith is growing. Yes, love is increasing. Indeed. That's a continuation. That's a process in life. You are growing in your faith and growing in the good works that God desires you to do in your life here on earth. And the truth is, we are never done with sanctification this side of heaven. We will never achieve that perfection in our lives because we are saints in God's eyes, but also sinners putting to death that sinful nature that clings to us in this life. You see, when the Holy Spirit planted that new self inside of us, when we came to faith, now we strive to live up to that holy calling that we've received from God. That holy calling, which is a gracious gift of salvation. He made us holy, so we strive to be holy. We try to fulfill every good desire. When God gives you desires to follow His will, we try to pursue those good desires instead of following the desires of the sinful nature. Put that sin away. That's a process in life. When God puts that new self in us, we're reborn to do good works, fruits of faith. Those good works are a process in life. We're working on them always. We're growing in sanctification. We are being made worthy every day as we say no to sin and say yes to God's good will. Look at the way we strive in our lives of sanctification to live up to that holy life God has given us for Jesus' sake through faith in Him. We're perfect in God's eyes through faith in Jesus. Holiness is counted to us. His righteousness is our gift. We are perfect. And so we strive to live up to that in our calling. Here's some examples. We give our offerings in support of the gospel ministry. That's what God desires of us. To be generous with our gifts. Bringing those offerings in thanksgiving to Him for saving us from our sins. And God is praised in that. And we are right to be very generous in those gifts. He's glorified in those good works, those thanksgiving offerings given to Him for saving you. But God doesn't want us to be idle in generosity. He wants us to grow in that area of sanctification. He wants us ever to increase our offerings to Him, to His glory. We should never say to ourselves, I'm already generous enough. I don't have to give more. Look how much I already give to support the work of the gospel. Let somebody else contribute to support the work too. No, that's not what God calls us to do. He invites us to grow. He invites us to offer more in thanksgiving to God. That's what Paul, Silas, and Timothy mean when, inspired by the Holy Spirit, they write, "You are growing in your faith. You're increasing in your love." Yes, God wants us to increase every good desire and every good work in our life as we get ever closer to that life of sanctification, to be worthy of that calling of perfect that we already have as a status for Jesus' sake in God's eyes. He wants you to strive to be the perfect person that God has made you to be. Another example, it's election time here at St. Paul's. No, not in our country, but in our congregation. Elections to boards and offices. God calls men to lead. God calls men to serve in that leadership role on behalf of all of the members of the congregation. Gentlemen, when you get that letter in the mail inviting you to consider service, perhaps you think, well, I've done my time. I've put in my service. Let somebody else fill this role this time. Or perhaps you're tempted to think too, I'm so busy in my personal life, how could I find time to add this responsibility of leadership for the church to my schedule as well? Well, what does God invite here? He's called you to leadership in the church. And He wants you to continue to grow and increase in that good work of leadership for the church. So instead of saying, let somebody else do it, we say, God will make me worthy of my calling and use His power to fulfill every good desire and work of my faith too. Also in this good work that He's calling me to fulfill. Yes, here am I. Send me to serve. Increase my worth in service in this way. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul and what Silas and Timothy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, are saying to the Christian congregation in Thessalonica. And in all of this, we remember the result. In all of our works of sanctification, in all of our striving to be the holy people that God has already made us to be for Jesus' sake through faith in Him, in all our good works and all of our efforts, it's not to glorify ourselves. Our offerings are not so that we can pat ourselves on the back and say, look at what I can do. Our leadership is not to say, look at me, how I'm leading and serving. No, Paul says it this way. Why do we do these acts of service, these good works? So that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, in keeping with the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. God is glorified in this. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, is glorified in all of my work, in all of my striving, in all of my effort to be worthy of what he has already made me to be. Glory be to Jesus in my life, in everything. Not so that people see what a wonderful person I am, but rather that they might see what a wonderful Savior that I have. And then look, there's even more. A gracious gift, a gift of God to you, even in sanctification. Yes, Jesus is glorified in you. What a praise to God and to his name. But look what he does for you too. He says, and you are glorified in him. You are glorified in him too. Glorified in him. How are you glorified in God? Because you are lifted up. You are exalted to be a member of his kingdom, which is right only for holy people. What an honor for you. That's only for the best, only for the righteous, and yet there you are because he has perfected you in Christ. And all of this is in line with, in keeping with, the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what grace is, undeserved love. You are honored in a way that you do not deserve. All of that because God is good to you. God is gracious to you. He shows you undeserved love. He shows you grace that you are worthy of his kingdom. And yes, he shows you grace to live up to that calling as well. So what? You see how Paul speaks? So what? You see how positively Paul encourages his believers? So what? You see how Paul inspires you in your life of sanctification with such positive words? Such encouraging words. He thanks God for you. We thank God for you. We're proud of you as you live your life of faith. We're proud of you as your faith grows. And we're proud of you as your love increases for one another. What a blessing from God. What a gift of his grace. So let's do that more and more. Dear brothers and sisters, being found worthy, living up to that high, glorious calling that we have received from our gracious God. You are worthy in Christ, so be worthy in Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.